Well, I want to welcome everybody. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to see you, and we're glad to be here. So we wanted to begin today's worship service by praying and asking for God's grace and mercy towards us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the God of heaven and earth. We thank you for being the God who has revealed himself to be the God of salvation, and that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us and to love us and to restore us. We take a moment now just to settle in to that reality, and we ask, Lord, would you draw us to your word, draw us together around the voice of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his presence in his word and in the sacraments. Comfort our hearts, restore hope, forgive, and empower us to be the people who forgive. And then, Lord, we pray you would be thrilled with seeing your kids live and speak the way you created us to as your children. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I actually had a passage today.
Yeah,
I forgot to mention this to Matt, but if you can turn to Psalm 25, before we anchor into our confession and absolution, Psalm 25, we'll just read 1 through 15 on Psalm 25. It's found on page 261 in our Bibles, 261, or you type into your magic phone Psalm 25. Either way is acceptable. God receives and wants to use. But let's just take time, and we ask the Lord to begin to soften our hearts and allow us to hear him and his voice through this psalm that David wrote. He said, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net." Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord quietly to minister to whatever needs and burdens we're carrying or trying to manage right now, and let's just give them to him. Thank you, Lord. We trust you with all these concerns and all these things that are beyond our power. We trust you, and we are not ashamed to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I hope that was helpful for you. It's always helpful for me as we begin to just kind of get our heads straight and go, what are we doing? And you know what we're doing is we're getting our heads straight. We're going to the God of all creation saying, how does this work again? And he says, I do the saving and you do the calling out. And so that's why we do the prayer of confession. It's we are our most powerful as creatures of God. The most powerful we can be is when we say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And he says, I will forgive you. So let's assume that position right from the beginning, that we are the receivers of salvation, not the makers and creators of salvation, but the receivers of it. So let's say together on page D, we'll stand and read the prayer of confession, where we recognize our need and where we look. Let's pray together, saying, Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I do want to just quickly point out the thing that jumped out to me when you were reading Psalm 25 was the forget my sins and remember me. That's what we're doing right now. We're asking God to say, forget how I've wronged you and how I've wronged others, and remember who I really am, who I'm supposed to be. And God says, I do. I forgive you. That was really cool.
And he removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. He says, I won't hold it against you.
Yeah.
That's refreshing in a world that is holding everything against it.
Today, we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, which is the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the temple. So I'm going to start off by reading Numbers 11. And
the way we're going to do it today is Matt's going to do the Numbers passage, then I'm going to come behind him and do the passage from the book of Acts as we continue to figure out what team preaching looks like. And this way I won't interrupt Matt when he has thoughts. So take it away, Matt.
I didn't complain about it. All right, so today's reading is Numbers 11, verses 24 through 30. And this is found on page 69. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. When the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp, and a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, My lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
So we have an interesting story here in the Bible. The Israelites are in the wilderness. They had left Egypt, and they had just left Sinai, the mountain where they had received God's word. And we have the story where Moses has 70 elders and he's at his wit's end. He is overwhelmed with trying to lead these people. And you have this scene where he has 70 elders come with him to the tent, which is the tent of meeting where God would meet with Moses, where the pillar of cloud that covered them during the day would descend on and speak with Moses. And the Lord says, bring 70 elders to this tent and I will give them my spirit and they will help you lead these people. And then Joshua gets all upset because two of the guys are prophesying in the camp, and he thinks they're trying to overthrow Moses. And Moses is like, stop, I'm not upset about this. And he says something that's kind of interesting. He says, I wish that all of God's people were prophets. So, a couple things. One, what does a prophet mean? Because I think for a lot of us, we instantly think some sort of mysterious future telling. And a prophet is simply someone who knows the words of God and announces them to the people. That's all a prophet is. That's what Moses is saying. I wish that all of God's people knew his words and could announce them to one another. He's at this point because they had just left the mountain where God spoke to them, gave them the law, said, these are the people you're supposed to be. You're supposed to love me and love one another. They've been miraculously taken care of, rescued from Egypt, rescued from slavery, passed through the rivers of the Red Sea, and they are stuck in a vicious cycle. They constantly are complaining against Moses and against God and asking God, I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish you had left us in slavery. We were better off there. And Moses is at a point where he literally asks God, can you kill me? Just kill me. I can't handle your people anymore. Because without the Spirit, God's people are stuck in a cycle of rebellion against him. And this is the same for us. In our own power, we are stuck in broken patterns where we are not only hurting ourselves, but we are hurting those around us. We are constantly trying to solve our own problems, fight for our own desires and whims, and we are just constantly stuck in these patterns of anger, of jealousy, of fear, of anxiety, of hurt, with no way out. And this is Moses' complaint against the people of God. He said, God, these are your people. You called them. You gave them your word, but it's not in them. It's not in their hearts. They don't know your word, and neither can they speak them to one another. But at Pentecost, this is where Moses' complaint ends and the word of Christ begins.
This is the part I get to talk about. Thank you for doing the bad news.
You're welcome.
This is the exciting part. This is what the day of Pentecost is all about. Because what Matt has just painted for you is the picture of the problem for the people of God. You know, it's easy to find the problem with the people of God historically and even today. That's always the easiest thing. And back before Christ, it was the easiest thing to say, what is wrong with all the people of God who are always worshiping other idols, who are always not even doing the things they say they're going to do and be the people they're supposed to be? It's because they're powerless without the Holy Spirit. They need a new heart. And that's what Pentecost is all about. Pentecost is about the reversal of all the problems. The problems with us, the issue with our unbelief, the issue with our rebellion, and the reality of the judgment we deserve. Because we are all complacent to evil. And we are all part of it. It's a broken system, and we are part of it. And so before Pentecost, and even after, we have to say, Lord, I'm the problem. I want to protest, and my sign needs to say, I am the problem. I need to die. That's the truth. And that's what Pentecost brings. God has found a way to kill you and save you at the same time and bring you back to life. And up until Pentecost, and even to this day. There's not a better answer. You do not have a better answer. No one has found a better answer to justice, to making things right in the world, to making people think right and act right and be who they're supposed to be and be good. No one has found any way to do that except Jesus Christ by dying, raising again, and then sending his Holy Spirit. It doesn't end with his ascension into heaven. He's still with us. So let's see what happens on this day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. So we'll read that. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. And Pentecost is 50 days after the Feast of Weeks. It's basically the second harvest festival. So the first one is to say, oh, look, we have some fruit. And then 50 days later, you say, thank God, all of our barns are full of food for the year. And so it's actually the celebration in the Jewish calendar for, like, thank God for filling up our storehouses. You filled us up with food for the year. Isn't that cool? And what does God do to this day? He says, oh, it's not just about food in your barns. It's about a new heart. So when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they're filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. So there's a lot there, but the scene is this, is that at Pentecost, everything is being reversed. Everything's changing for good. It's the change we all desire. It's the change we all know. We're all trying to figure out. We got to do something to change this. And only God can change it. And what he does is, at Pentecost, he says, I'm going to break this cycle that Matt talked about, the cycle of rebellion that our hearts are stuck in, the cycle of violence. I'm going to break it by giving you my Holy Spirit and freeing you from that cycle so you're free to explore life with God. You're actually free from these cycles of death and violence. And the way he's going to do that is by pouring out the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, his way of thinking with you. He's going to put it in you. And with that, he's going to give you faith so that you can believe. He's going to apply to you the work of Christ so that there's actual forgiveness, so you can forgive yourself. And then he's going to empower you, make you prophesy. You're all going to be able to prophesy, which, again, what Matt said, is you're going to be able to speak the words of God to people. You know what the words of God to people are? I forgive you. I forgive you. Three words you haven't heard very often, unless you've been interacting with me where I'm always asking you for forgiveness because I always step in something. But in our culture, you're not hearing it very much. I forgive you. This is powerful, reverse, life-changing stuff, and it begins with the reversal of our, let's take three characters in this passage. We'll break it down. The first character is Peter. Who is Peter? And who is a guy that 50 days after denying Jesus to a little girl at a fire, I don't know who Jesus is. All of a sudden now he's speaking in the temple at the third hour. He's speaking to thousands of people who have gathered all, they list all the nations. And when they list all the nations, it's basically the whole world is there. Representatives of people who are God-fearers or Jews have come. So they list all 12 places and it surrounds, that list of places just is surrounding all of Jerusalem. So the whole world has come here. And here's Peter who couldn't say, yes, I follow Jesus in the middle of a night to a girl around a fire. And now is going to announce it to all nations in the temple. Do you see what the Holy Spirit is already doing? He's reversing it. He's taking a guy who got scared in his own strength and making him someone who has the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the message, which is the power. He takes someone who would deny into someone who would proclaim. And so the first thing the Holy Spirit gives to us is faith. And faith is knowing God. And it's saying, I don't know everything else, but I know God. And so I got to say it. I know him. I got to believe it. And it gives a courage to keep living. For us, the way it works is you keep living. The Holy Spirit gives you the faith. The reason you believe is because the Holy Spirit has been poured out and given you eyes that are open and a heart that goes, I need a creator. I need a God. And I believe in Jesus. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. That's work. So the Holy Spirit is operated in you. If you right now in your heart or out loud, we'll say it later. If you can say Jesus Christ is Lord, that is a work of the Holy Spirit in you. Did you know that? If you're ever worried, just go, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you're like, whew, thanks, Holy Spirit. Because Moses, the scene Matt described, God is far away and hard to reach. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's reversing the curse of a lot of things. He's reversing the confusion and revealing himself. Yet so often we think, oh, talk about the Holy Spirit. It gets confusing and weird. No, the Holy Spirit is to reveal who Christ is and bring his word to us clearer. And what you see is all these nations at the temple, there's a reversal of some exile. There's a reversal of scattering and confusion. Because remember the beginning of our story? Not this story today, but of the whole story of the Bible. That when humanity was trying to figure out God, and they were all working together, and they built a tower to God to manipulate God and to be God. What did God do? He messed with their languages. He scattered them. He called it the Tower of Babel. That's why they call it the Tower of Babel. Blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, the buddy you're working with is like, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, blah, blah, blah. You can't understand each other. It's totally confused. And so then God takes and says, I'm going to raise up Abraham. I'm going to have to work through one person, through a group of people, and I'm going to meet with them on the earth and create a tabernacle and a temple, and I'm going to meet with them and give them a language, give them the Ten Commandments, give them my presence there, give them prophets, give them Moses and David, and so that they can be a kingdom of priests, so that the people of Israel in that temple could help save the world. That they would be receiving these things from God and then go out and love people. But what did they do? They used it to shield themselves so that if you were an outside nation at the time of Jesus, you couldn't get in. See, Tower of Babel was to separate everybody. Israel was supposed to be used to bring them together, but they had failed because of their rebellious hearts. And so Jesus says, I'm the only one. I can do what Israel didn't do. Through death and resurrection, and I will include all people. I will reverse Babel. And so at Pentecost, You see Jesus Christ giving his Holy Spirit, and the first thing it's doing, it's changing Peter, flipping who he is, giving faith, but then it's reversing the curse of Babel, and now the temple is a place that all nations can understand the word of God. They can hear the voice of God say, come to me. You're included into my family now. All who call upon the name of the Lord, come to me. How can we understand your voice? Yeah, because the Spirit will put the voice of God on you. And what I've learned, too, is Peter, he's announcing this in the temple, and the third hour is the hour of prayer. That's why they go, are you drunk? You're not supposed to be talking right now at the temple, even in the courtyard of the Gentiles. Are you drunk? Why are you talking when we all should be praying? But then they're also saying, are you drunk? Because at this point, he's speaking in either Greek or Aramaic, which all those nations knew. And they also knew that when you come into the temple, there was a big debate going on. There's always debates. There's always power struggles in every culture, right? And there was a huge fight at Pentecost because if you didn't know the Hebrew, you've been so far away from Jerusalem for so long, you've forgotten the Hebrew. You've forgotten what to say at the service. And so there was a big fight, and the priest would just say it for him. So don't talk in here. You don't know the Hebrew. Don't say anything. That's the norm. And then all of a sudden, here's the Galilean standing up, speaking a language they understand in the courtyard of the Gentiles in the temple. And they're like, are you drunk? You're going to die. And Peter's like, no, it's the third hour. It's the time for prayer. But what you've seen is the wind of God, the fire of God. Those are the things that have the glory of God. And that's what's moving here. And it's to reverse the isolation, reverse the Babel, and bring everyone together and incorporate them and incorporate us. And the way he does it, he says, all nations call on me and I will forgive you. You are forgiven. You can approach the temple. The Holy Spirit is what works. It applies the work of Christ to you. And it's to all nations, male, female, big, small, whatever. It doesn't matter where you come from. It's for all, and you are forgiven. And then what's really cool is the temple then is going to, it's reversed. It's like, now you are the temple. You are the carriers of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit fills you with the glory of God. You carry it. But for what purpose? For your own power? To feel good about yourself? Well, the good thing is, Jesus does bring comfort to you. He says, I am under control. That's comforting. But the now, the purpose is that you may speak the words of God. So now you are the place, the temple of God, that now announces forgiveness. There used to be one place, the temple. Pentecost goes, fills you with his Spirit. For all who call out upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've called out. Once you've called out, you're a clean, forgiven vessel. You know the word of the Lord. You carry the word of the Lord, and now you can say, I forgive you to people in the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful than that. And that's all God wants. Go around telling them, I am the God of salvation. I was thinking about this. There's the God of sky, the God of weather. There's the God of wheat. There's the God of joy and good luck. There's the God of money. We have all these gods of. You know what our God is the God of? Yeah, I mean, he's king, you're right. He's the best. But he's revealed himself as the God of salvation. You know what I mean? So if you break it down, the God of this or God of that, ours is actually the God of all saving. It's his salvation, and the Holy Spirit is applying that to us, and Jesus has found a way to kill us and bring us back to life. He's given us his Holy Spirit, and that's why he does baptism. I want you to drown, be washed, now be raised up, because our Savior died for us. We don't have to physically die to be assured of anything. We get to die by saying, God, forgive me. It's like, I forgive you. And I love you. Boom. And now we're assured and we're full of the Holy Spirit. This is what Pentecost is about. He's broken the cycle of our rebellion. He's broken the cycle of what we deserve, our judgment. He's broken the cycle of our hopelessness, so that now we have hope to be the people of forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, healing, that our God can heal people. The only way we're going to bring healing to our world right now is by proclaiming Jesus Christ, because God did something about all the violence. He sent his son, who suffered a ridiculous, brutal beating and humiliation. Remember? We've seen what's in man. 2,000 years ago, we saw it. We still have this. Of course, people still act like that today. That's what's in man. Without the Holy Spirit, you're stuck. And the best we can do is overreact and scream justice. But you don't want to be a person of justice, because sooner or later, you'll be judged. There's a justice system, and we let it do its work. We are the people of salvation, and we look to Jesus Christ to save and to heal and to restore people from the inside out. Thank God I can do that. This is what Pentecost is about. And this is where we're then free from the cycle to explore life with God. So we're going to read one more passage. And can I get an amen? Amen. Thanks. It's good news for us, but it gets even better. But wait, there's more. Let's see what our Savior Jesus has to say about things.
So, John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, and it's on page 521. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let me see that. You talk. You talk. Let me read that again.
Jesus is transforming us from creatures of death and rebellion to people who give life, who from our hearts no longer flow cursing but blessing, who no longer are violent and seek to destroy but seek to give life. And the way we do this, our power here, is to say, "Adam, I forgive you all your sins in the name of Jesus Christ."
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a lot more than you may think.
This is how we give life to one another.
Wow. Matt, I forgive you for all your sins. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
There's a flowing of, it's like a cleansing. It's the flowing of the waters of Christ. He says, you're thirsty for justice. You're thirsty for love. You're thirsty for people's hearts to be made right. We can't change people's hearts, but he can. And he's empowered us to say, I forgive you. I'm going to let it go. You owe me so much. You've scared me, but I'm going to let it go and ask God to repay what you have stolen from me. I forgive you. Whew. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. So the new world begins at Pentecost. And by the new world, I mean we're waiting for the recreation of all things. God starts to recreate us by giving us a new heart, giving us his Holy Spirit. So his work on us has begun. It's not finished. It's not a one-time event. It's an ongoing reality where we have access to the God of heaven and earth to say, forgive me. We can talk to him, where he's keeping us faith at least enough to say, I think I need you, Lord. Thank God for that.
And this is where he breaks into our cycles of death and hurt and woundedness and says, I forgive you. And I'm healing you. And now you can go and forgive others and be a source of healing to others. And I will set up a new life for you to be free to explore with me.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit being poured out that you promised us and you did it. So that now we have hearts that are forgiven for our rebellion, that are forgiven and start to love others because you have loved us. That we can come to you and be comforted that you are the source of the Spirit and the Spirit never fails to minister the work of Christ to us. Thank you. I pray that you would minister your work to our hearts, your comfort to our hearts, your future and hope to our hearts today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So let's do the, let's stand and confess what it is we believe. So as we say the Apostles' Creed, found on page B, remember, we're confessing who God is, the Creator, who Jesus is, the Redeemer, and who the Holy Spirit is, the Sanctifier. And so it's that last part that really talks about all that the Holy Spirit is doing in His church, His people. So what is it you believe, Christian? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. So this is our time to say thank you to God. And I know for people at home and or here too, we give back with our offering to say, thanks, Lord, you provide all things for us and you will continue to provide. We won't be ashamed for trusting you. So we aren't going to pass anything around during this season for to be handled or touched. So we have the plates up here at any time. If you want to give that way or just give online, we appreciate it. And the Lord uses it for the building up of his kingdom on earth. But I do want to say, too, we have we're going to do a short prayer and then we're going to do the Lord's Supper. And we'll explain how we're going to do that. But again, it's going to be everybody staying where you're at. You're not having to move or anything. But while we pray, we do want to thank God and celebrate with the Lanos. They had a baby this week, and everything was healthy and wonderful, and it was great. So, crazy stories. I'll let you tell them, Troy. Troy and Tiffany, I'll let them tell the stories, but I'm dying to tell the stories they told me. They're so great. But I'll let them share. But thank God, and then thank God for a wonderful baby shower where you guys, I'm so proud of our church taking care of Christina and Matt. And where's Christina? She's in the bathroom. Classic pregnant lady. How embarrassing. But I praise God.
Yeah.
And I'm praising God for everyone. We're making it. We're just holding it together. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to continue to settle our hearts and our minds on a daily, moment by moment basis, because it's just too much to handle. Everything's too much to handle on our own. So let me pray. And then, one last thing. If you're at home and you have a prayer request, we would love for you to text somebody so they can write it, so we can have it on the board. And then while probably after we do the Lord's Supper, we'll have a time of singing where you can put prayer requests on the board. I love that. It's a way for us to pray for you, and it's a tactile way for you to write it down and do something. It takes some effort. But if you're at home, send it to someone else and let them be a part of that for you. Okay. Now I'll pray.
Go for it.
Lord, we thank you for the babies that have been born, the babies that are going to be born, and for all your people who have been living for quite some time. We pray in all cases, Lord, have mercy on us. Would you hold our hearts? They're so troubled and scared, and we just are confronted with power we think we have being gone. We're troubled with how to use the little power we have, and troubled from the world, from our own sinful nature, and from the accusations and lies of the devil. We don't even know, and we just ask for your mercy on us. And we pray, would you protect our hearts and our minds with your word? Holy Spirit, would you apply to us this week and today the words of Christ, which are, I love you, I died for you, I forgive you, I will protect you. You won't be ashamed for trusting me. Just trust me right now. Give me that sick feeling of anxiety, and I'll give you peace. So Holy Spirit, would you get us to a place that takes faith, and would you remind everyone here and who's watching, we're asking that this week, Holy Spirit, you pursue us and remind us that we have a Savior who loves us and forgives us and makes us the people of love and forgiveness towards one another. And of course, restore to us and provide for us all of our needs. But we love you. We thank you. We make our request known to you because you are our Father. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you want to break apart the Lord's Supper? Sure. Or would you like me?
I'll do it.
So we're going to prepare to take the Lord's Supper. And Matt's going to break it down. I'm just telling you everything Matt's going to do. Just do it.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks. I was waiting to see.
On the night that our Savior was betrayed, where he entered into our broken cycles of violence and rebellion, he took bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat of it." Likewise, he took the cup. After pouring it out, he said, "This wine is a new covenant. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it." Lord, thank you for giving us physical, tangible anchors where we can interact with your forgiveness, that we can receive through bread and wine your body and blood, where we receive your punishment that you took upon yourself. And with it, you forgive us. Thank you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray the Lord's Prayer before we eat, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
So use this time to pray and prepare. We're going to walk around and distribute. Again, you don't touch anything but the one you're taking. And the outside is wine. The inside is grape juice. And we're trying to space everything out so everything's been prepared with gloves and safely. And so we're trying to be aware of that as you take it. Then use the time to prepare your heart and your mind.
Yeah, do that.
Take the bread. And Jesus says, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat of it."
Likewise, took the cup. So this is my blood poured out for you for forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven for the sake of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who has died for you, rose again for you, has sent his Spirit to dwell and be with you, and is preparing a place for you. Lord, I pray, continue to nourish and strengthen the faith that the Holy Spirit is working in all of our families and all of our friends here in this room and everywhere. We pray for your peace, for your provision, for your presence, for your healing. Oh Lord, would you bless our community? And then we together pray for the world. Lord, would you start to work peace? Would you change the hearts and minds of evil and of sadness and of death? Would you start to renew hope everywhere in the world? Lord, we thank you that with this, you've invited us into your headquarters, to your table, given us your Son. We ask that you would come quickly. Come and make things right in us and around us and in the world. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.